Brendan. How you doing?
I'm good.
Excellent. You sound a little further away than usual.
I feel disconnected, Alan. It's like there's the space between us.
And it's wider than just the usual, like, 2.5 feet of the table.
Yeah, I can't see you on the other side of this table.
Excellent. For those wondering, we are doing yet another iteration of the podcast. The podcast changes, keeping it interesting.
Keeping it fresh.
Yeah, exactly. Funky fresh, as the kids say. They do say that, right?
So, yeah, it's another episode of the podcast.
So this week, Brendan is recording from lovely Sebastopol, and I'm recording
up here in the wine country.
Yeah, I'm recording from I guess it's lovely also San Jose,
home base.
Yes,
home podcast base.
Yeah, it's okay. It's okay. It works out.
Technology.
Yes. The future is now. I hope everyone has already figured that out. But if you haven't, the future is now. It's also a thing.
The future is a thing, yes.
Thanks, everyone, for continuing to listen and like us on Facebook and share us on Twitter or retweet us or whatever you got to do to get the word out. It's we've been seeing the subscribership tick upwards ever so slightly, so welcome to all the new listeners, and welcome back to all the continuing listeners. It's great to
welcome to the show. Tell a friend. Spread it like a disease, but you know, a fun disease.
I always wonder that about whenever campaigns are described as viral. Is that really the best word to use? You know,
it's pathogenic.
Yeah. Totally pathogenic, man. Oh my gosh. Better get the CDC up in here.
That's how we know we've started a successful podcast. The CDC gets called up.
Right. When the CDC puts out the how to listen to the Not a Thing podcast webpage.
We could probably spoof that, I bet. Someone would make a page for that on our website.
We may know one or two people that are skilled in Photoshopery and
the dark arts of the internet.
Excellent. We definitely have to do a dark arts of the internet episode. I think that should be a thing.
Yeah. Sometimes I feel like we come up with better and more ideas during the podcast than we do when we're coming up with ideas when we're preparing for a podcast.
It does tend to be a very generative show as we
It's go. Organic.
Yes, exactly.
Which aids in its virility.
It mutated. Kill before it mutates again. Oh wait, no. Don't kill the show.
No.
Please support the show. If not financially, then social networkably.
Let us incubate in your ears.
Like those things in Star Trek II, Wrath of Khan.
Oh yeah, those things creep me out.
Definitely. That might have been one of the scariest things I remember growing up.
Well, they were like the secondary villain. I mean, Ricardo Montalban obviously was the main villain.
Yeah.
But I think those little worm things definitely had a strong role. They might have gotten more lines than Uhura in that movie. I don't know.
Okay. All right. What do we got? What do we got today?
I would say, speaking of space worms,
yes,
and other Star Trek stuff,
hopefully
Mars
or something. Apparently NASA has done a wonderful thing by essentially kickstarting as many internet rumors as that possibly could. they've said that there's an interesting discovery that's going to change everything, but they can't tell us what it is.
Yeah. Like, oh, we think we found something really cool, but we can't tell you till we verify it.
Yeah. So, I guess they've learned from the Hollywood hype machine about how to properly you know, whip people into a frenzy, because I don't know what you've been seeing so far, but I've seen everything from stuff as mundane as there was running water on Mars and here's some proof, all the way out to there was a huge civilization that was on Mars and it destroyed itself, and now the microbes from that were what seeded Earth and blah, you know, it's wild. The the crowdsourcing system that is Reddit has filled me with many ideas that I would love for like 70% of them to be true.
Reddit's gone wild. Not to be confused with the subreddit gone wild. Well, I would say my top three things that I hope that they found. I don't know if you've got a list, but from what I've come up with so far, is I hope. Okay, number one, that they found the giant face from Mission to Mars. Jim Robbins, I hope he was right. Okay, number two, a living alien. That would be pretty neat.
Yeah, that would be pretty neat. That
qualifies as earth-shaking. And thirdly, unobtainium. If they find unobtainium on Mars, that's much easier to get than going to the planet Pandora, and we would be able to build all the other cool technologies that we've discussed in previous podcasts.
Yes, that would be pretty cool. And as long as there are no kind of giant blue things on Mars, which as far as I know are not there, but, you know, I mean, they haven't told us what the thing is, so who knows, but I think I speak for both of us. We're wrapped with attention. We'd love to know what the actual thing is. So NASA, please, you know, feel free to use this podcast as your your way to get the word out. You know, our listenership is in the 20s, so I think it's gonna be a good way to get
it's high 20s.
Floor,
it's know? High 20s.
Yeah.
I think more realistically I think more likely it's going to be, you know, hopefully microbes, maybe water. Those seem more reasonable than Mission to Mars face.
Yeah, I thought they already kind of figured out water.
Water. The deuterium, man.
Yeah, yeah. From the former nuclear testing on Mars, of course. Yes. No, actually. You know, I think water would be good. Microbes, even non-indigenous microbes would be fine, because then it's more of that, you know, seeded from space kind of thing that that scientists have been going for. Like the microbes that started life on Earth were, you know, from meteorites, from who knows where else. I think that kind of corroboration would be pretty cool too.
Yeah. Actually, I did just have a thought that blows my other three theories out of the water.
Oh?
I think I don't know. There's just a theory. I just came up with it. Maybe they found the lost ticket sales from John Carter. That would be earthshake. It actually is the most successful movie of all time. The tickets were all sold on Mars. That's where all that revenue went.
See, if they put Mars in the title, they would have been able to reconcile it. But, you know, the Martian audience was, you know, it's a different jurisdiction, and I'm sure they had some issues, like, you know, doing the budget and accounting for that.
It was only one word away from Coach Carter. Come on.
Ooh. Yikes. excellent. Well, hopefully we'll get some news about that, and we'll definitely talk that up. Probably at length. I'm still glad that NASA is a thing.
Do you think if they do find something that really is that earth-shaking, that it will put us back onto the space route, you know?
That would be pretty cool. I mean,
will that rekindle that? Because it's not doing space exploration. It's not doing so well.
No. I mean, and that's why we have a robot there and not like some dudes
or ladies.
That's fine. I agree. Space ladies.
Space ladies are awesome.
Space ladies should be a thing for sure.
Yes, approved by the podcast. Write your congressman. Space ladies should be a thing.
But yeah, I think. A big discovery like that would definitely, you know, pop everyone's interest back in. I mean, I think we're ready for it. We want it to happen. I mean, with the Curiosity landing, people were really into the recent Felix Baumgartner space jump. I mean, I think the public is primed for something cool to happen in space again, and ready to throw money at it. I mean, it's the future that we kind of always wanted, and is more interesting than anything we got going right now.
Maybe that's what California should do. We should step up as a state and create our own space program, because the budget office is already projecting the deficit only to be like $1.9 billion this year. And then it's supposed to make a surplus by next year.
Right.
Instead of being fiscally responsible and like creating a safety net for the budget, we should just double down on space. California made rockets. I mean, we do a lot of stuff here already. I mean, Ames is here. We got
right.
You know.
Yeah. Yeah. That would be pretty cool.
As goes California, goes the nation, right? Or whatever it is.
maybe that's yeah, that could work. I'm for that. I would write my congressman for that.
Yeah. Dear congressman, don't be fiscally responsible. Make more rockets.
Oh, I like the sound of rockets. That sounds good. It's so much cooler than like rovers and satellites. Just stuff in rockets, and you just blow them up and shoot them into space. That'd be great.
Yes.
Excellent. With no transition whatsoever, I'm going to move on to our second topic, only because I'm excited to find out how you're doing on NaNoWriMo.
Way to put me on the spot, Alan.
Yeah. Oh, well, you know, I wouldn't know anything about that.
Turnabout's fair play. I started off strong, but this last week, there's been a lot going on, changing in my world, so I have not had the time to put into it.
Oh, no.
I'm only at about a little, like, 7,500 words.
Yeah, so on Sunday, I decided to stay in and not kind of play Diablo 3 all day, which is what I have been doing kind of in my spare time instead of writing. I got my wizard at the level 40, for those of you that are into Diablo 3, and for everyone else, I am a nerd. Kind of instead of doing that on Sunday, I decided to buckle down and write, and I was able to knock out almost 4,000 words.
Wow.
So essentially nearly doubling my output at the time. I mean, arguably a lot of that was just kind of pulling together from all of my other places that I've been writing, because I'd been trying to write on different things. I have an iPad, and I had set it up to write, and I was kind of taking notes into that, and I had a couple different tools that I was using to take notes and write together. And I just had to collate that all and pull it together. And then I decided to write a few more scenes to go with it. But I'm not at 10,000, nor am I at 20,000, or where are we supposed to be at this point?
I'm guessing we're supposed to be somewhere around 30 or 20 or something.
Because it's supposed to be a 50,000 word. I mean, the target, the way it's set up, is a 50,000 word novel after 30 days of writing.
Well, I feel like I've definitely learned some things through the process. It's challenging.
Yeah.
It might have been a bit ambitious. It's definitely doable, but if you want to have a life outside of writing, I don't know how doable it is.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the only reason I was able to get out as many words as I could when I was writing was, again, kind of going along with what I had said at the outset when we had David on, was if I have enough structure behind it, I can just kind of click into whatever mode it is, and I can write for about 700 to 800 words worth in a single scene, and then I have to write on a different topic, on a different part of the outline or something like that. It's very hard for me to write more than, say, 1,000 words in the same kind of scene. I don't know if that means my scenes are too short or what, but just from a, like, I get bored perspective, it's easier for me to kind of start off, kind of go for a little while, and then wrap up a scene in about 800 to 900 words. So the other thing that I learned is that I don't like typing on the screen of an iPad.
That, I'm not surprised.
I really do need the key feedback. The iPad, it's definitely usable as a note taking surface, because I've done that for other things. I've taken very short notes, and when I wrote my initial outline for everything, I actually did it on the iPad. But any kind of extended typing and the lack of feedback is really annoying. And because it's you're essentially just tapping glass. You don't. My muscles were getting like sore afterwards. Like the muscles in my fingers. Was typing extra hard because I wanted to make sure that I was getting all the right keys. And
you will acknowledge that I am typing on you.
It's something like that. Because I'm not getting enough feedback, I feel like I have to hear it, so I have to type as hard as I can. So,
well, that's as far from a typewriter as you can get while still typing.
Pretty much. Well, typing with my thumbs would have been worse.
I guess that's true, yeah. that would have been a whole other problem.
Yeah. I do think that, if we take one thing from this, I think keyboards, a thing. They should be a thing. Mm-hmm. I actually just read a while ago that there's a maker of Mac keyboards specifically. I think the name is Matias. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that right, but it's Matias, and they make a line of keyboards that still have the mechanical switches in them. Most keyboards now, especially quiet keyboards, are the technology is it's a rubber dome with a micro switch underneath it, and so the rubber, when it compresses when you press the key, and then pops back up. Mechanical key switches is what they used to use in the old IBM keyboards, and those things are loud. I mean, there's a spring in there, like a metal spring that.
Well, there's a reason they developed quiet keyboards.
Yeah. It's true. if you're in a crowd, or if you're in a open floor plan situation, everyone is going to know you're typing when you have one of these keyboards knocked out. And I used to use one when I worked in the full height cube kind of floor plan. And it's still really loud, but there was nothing more satisfying to be typing. I really felt like I was typing. I've never actually typed on a... Well, that's not true. I have typed on a full-on keyboard. But if you miss on a real keyboard, there's no backspace. Or it right. doesn't really work the way... I mean, it just moves the thing back. It doesn't erase what you're typing. So it's mm-hmm. a lot more more painful when you miss.
Yeah, I think from this, at this point, I can probably, just based on the projections in the Electoral College, I can concede that I'm not going to finish 50,000 words in the allotted time.
Well, Nate Silver hasn't weighed in on it yet, so yeah. We want to give yeah. him a chance to check out our podcast and see how Brendan is doing.
Actually, I just checked 538, and I'm at about 1%. But I do still have a completed outline. I've got a good start, and I definitely will finish my project.
That's awesome.
I'm just not going to finish it within the month. There will be a book. It will be finished. It's Excellent. Just going to take a normal amount of time, not a crazy month amount of time.
Yeah, we have to check in with a couple people. I know there was one of our international listeners who started really, really strongly and then kind of disappeared. So I don't know if he's just not updating the website. But friend of the podcast, Jürgen, if you're listening, we would love to know how you're doing.
Send us your word count at notathingpodcast.com.
Actually, if you are doing NaNoWriMo or were at all interested in how that was going, let us know, because I do think that NaNoWriMo should be a thing. I think it's a great idea. It's helped me kind of figure out more about my style and kind of approach to writing. I think I have a long way to go my writing style, but my ability to kind of get in the mode is a lot better than it was. Using this month to kind of experiment with a few different things and be a little more present about how to write and what steps I need to take to write. So if it's in any way helped you, we'd love to hear your feedback too. Moving on from writing this month, and another thing that happens in November, this coming week, is Thanksgiving, which is good and great and wonderful and
my favorite holiday.
Yeah, one of the big ones if you're into food, which I know I am.
Pumpkin pie.
Yeah, it's good stuff. But another kind of tradition that's been cropping up is the day after Thanksgiving, from a shopping perspective, the kind of beginning of the Christmas shopping kind of experience is generally termed Black Friday because of the actually I'm not sure why it's called Black Friday other than just how black your heart must be in order to get up in the morning to go to those deals and muscle people out of the way. And
well, as a veteran of the holiday wars, as a retail employee on Black Friday, yeah. I would say it is aptly named.
Okay.
It is a dark day.
Indeed. So the thing that I heard this year, which kind of made me lose my mind a little bit, was that Black Friday had been just, you know, it's just when the stores open on Friday, you go there and there are deals, and it's become this known thing. And I remember a few years ago, they started the Black Friday sales at midnight. So Thursday mm-hmm. night to Friday morning midnight, some stores would be open. Walmart would be like the big one, if I'm remembering right. And there would be deals at midnight, and it was crazy. People would go and There was pepper spraying last year, if I'm remembering right.
Yes.
it's kind of crazy. So the thing that made me just mad about like what's going on is that I've heard that this year they're going to be opening on Thanksgiving evening at 8.
What?
Yeah.
That's outrageous.
I want to say Target.
Not a thing.
Is behind this. Yeah.
Not a thing.
I wholeheartedly agree. I mean, not only is it, you know, if it's cutting into like, you know, that post dessert afterglow, and
that's turkey sandwich time. Right. That's not shopping time.
Right. I mean, not only is it that, I mean, all the people that work for these stores are getting up much earlier than that, or getting there much earlier than that to work. And so you're just, it's really taking away from the true meaning of Thanksgiving is what I'm trying to say.
Well, for people who work in places like that, there's really only 2 days a year that you might get off. And that's like Thanksgiving and, or you might get to go home early. Mm-hmm. It's Thanksgiving and Christmas.
Yeah.
You work 363 other days of the year.
Right.
So to cut into that time, that's just wrong.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that the kind of retail frenzy that was Black Friday kind of extended kind of forward into, I guess some people called it Cyber Monday, which I don't understand why the internet is like, that's the day to buy stuff on the Monday after. That kind of the deals kind of atmosphere around that has definitely grown in both directions. So, I mean, at the beginning of last week, I was already getting spam for, you know, deals at this company and that company and stuff like that, and how there's going to be deals all through this week. And, I mean, I understand that sales are probably down just because of the economic situation as it is, but I feel like giving people, you know, the kind of consumerism deals kind of thought of it isn't really helping. It's all
hype. I mean,
yeah.
The deals that they have on that day, you can find deals similar to that the whole year round,
mm-hmm.
if you know where to look.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's not. I think it's really kind of a function of there's too much kind of junky stuff out there. It's the way I look at it. It's like, there are deals because really this stuff doesn't cost that much to make, and so we're just trying to get more of it out the door. And
well, between that and the frenzy that people get into around that day, mm-hmm. they should just change it to Crack Friday. Because people go crazy on Black Friday.
Right. Yeah, and I would much rather be pretty much anywhere else on that day than anywhere where people might be buying or selling things. And not even, I don't think I'm even going to participate in internet sales, because I feel so kind of just anti-consumerist around that time of year. Just because
I didn't realize you were so anti-American, Alan. How dare you?
Yep. I pretty much want everything given to me on Black Friday.
But you want America to fail. I see how it is. You're probably some sort of sleeper agent for some foreign country trying to do some sort of Red Dawn situation.
Right, but not China, apparently.
No.
So I didn't know this until I had written the note to you about how I wanted to talk a little bit about Red Dawn, because I guess the remake is coming out tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
And I had read nothing really about the movie other than they were making a remake, and I'd heard that the bad guys were going to be the Chinese.
No, it's the Koreans.
Yeah, so that's what I read this morning, was that it was changed from the Chinese to the Koreans. Like, they had shot stuff with like, I guess, Chinese flags or references to Chinese, and then they're just like, oh, you know what? Let's make it Korea, just for whatever reason. And
so did they do what, like, Spielberg did to the guns in E.T.?
There's so many jokes that I could make in this place, but I can't. I feel hamstrung by my own Asian heritage.
That is why you fail.
Yeah. So I'm probably not going to see the remake of the movie. In fact, the last time I saw the original Red Dawn was I was in Austin, and at the Alamo Drafthouse, actually, they were doing a make fun of the movie kind of thing. Kind of funny sidebar around that. It was called the Sinus Show, because they were trying to do like a Mystery Science Theater kind of thing, but the Mystery Science Theater 3000 folks took offense to their name being like associated with it, so they changed it to the Sinus Show instead of the Science Show or whatever they were calling it at the time. But anyway, they were making fun of Red Dawn, and that made it infinitely more enjoyable. I'm not sure if I could watch it. I definitely can't watch it without kind of, you know, talking back to the screen and laughing, and I don't know if that would go over as well in a movie theater. People just don't do that as much as they should.
Full disclosure, I've never seen Red Dawn.
It's probably for the best. It's not.
I don't feel like I'm missing out on that much.
No.
You know what? I feel like I got enough out of that when I played, was that the second Modern Warfare 2?
Yes.
Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2. I got to play Red Dawn, essentially. Yeah.
Except you didn't have to pee into a gas tank or a radiator to cool the engine down. Which is a scene in the movie. Spoiler alert for those that have still not seen the original Red Dawn and for some reason want to. Yeah.
I feel like I'd rather watch the original than see this remake without having seen the original. Especially, it's been sitting on the shelf for at least, I want to say, a year or two.
Yeah, that's what I've heard as well. That's wild.
Although the last movie that Chris Hemsworth was in that had sat on the shelf for years was Cabin in the Woods, which turned out to be amazing. Mm. So maybe I should give it a chance. I don't know.
Possibly. I think I'll wait for video on that. Maybe. I mean, so the reason I wanted to talk about it a little bit is I think the I wanted to just kind of very quickly glance around on the feasibility of such an invasion. I mean, the plot essentially is that for both movies is that some foreign superpower, it was the Soviets. Oh my God, I just realized that the Soviets was the bad guys. Not the I don't think it was actually the Russians. I'm pretty sure it was the USSR, which shows how old
doesn't even exist.
Right, exactly. So
so that really calls the plausibility of that, you know. Is that really that they don't even exist anymore? You really think they could have invaded?
Right. So they invade not by coming in on a coast and bombers and stuff like that. They put a landing force with tanks on the ground into Canada and then invaded from the north, kind of, you know, southward through the like middle of the country. And I think
where all the guns are.
Right. So this is my problem. It's like, if you're going to pick a place to invade, maybe not where all the survivalists are. I think it's probably not the best attack plan.
Yeah, I've seen Doomsday Preppers. You don't want to mess with those fools.
And on top of that, you know, the blogosphere would just erupt. It would not be a surprise for very long if it were an actual surprise.
Yeah. If there's no, yeah, no, could that even happen with smartphones today?
No, no. Hashtag U.S. invasion would trend faster than your, you know, faster than
you would crash Twitter.
Yeah,
that's how we know. Okay, next time Twitter crashes, get your gun loaded.
Panic room, panic room. So yeah, I think what was really funny was that after, you know, I'm full disclosure, this was after we had talked about our topics for the week. I saw in on SFGate, which is the online extension of the Chronicle, the reasons why Red Dawn would not be possible, and one of the funnier kind of ones in there was the existence of roller derby girls.
What?
It's just that if women are tough enough to run around a track and knock into each other, they're not gonna stand for, you know, people invading our country. And I have to say, I think roller derby should be a thing. It's pretty
agreed.
Awesome. Despite the was it Ellen Page movie?
Whip It,
which was okay.
It was all right.
It was all right.
I liked it.
I think it was...
not a strong endorsement, but, you know, it was all right.
It was okay. I liked it enough. Yeah. So anyway, Red Dawn the movie, probably not a thing for me, and the actual invasion of the U.S. by the Koreans or the Chinese or the Soviets... probably also not a thing.
Yeah, so really, we could probably skip seeing Red Dawn and watch Whip It.
Yeah.
Again.
Yeah, or, actually, or that would be fine.
Juno 2 Electric Boogaloo.
Juno 2, this time there's no Michael Cera.
Sold.
He has other things to do. He should really get on that Arrested Development. Like,
they're doing it. It's happening.
Is it when does it air? Is it, it's not
airing, I think it's
yet,
no, it? I think it airs next year.
Okay. All right.
But it is filming. I've seen pictures.
They got to do that, like, and get it out in the world, like, right now. I would watch that.
Yes.
That should be a thing. Okay. So I think we have just one time for one more thing, which
the thing that should not be a thing.
Yes, yes.
The San Francisco 49ers quarterback controversy.
And controversy is in extreme quotation marks.
Yes.
I think it's more like the 49ers quarterback awesome game plan for the rest of the year. It's keep every team that they play against guessing on what quarterback they're going to get.
I've never seen so many people turn on a player so fast. After years of complaining about Alex Smith, he's finally serviceable. And at the first shot at somebody else playing well, one game, you're like, oh, forget Alex Smith.
Yeah, he's that guy's gone.
He's got Colin Kaepernick. That's the way. 49er faithful, my ass.
It was really fun to watch that game, though. I think there were more than a couple times when Kaepernick was throwing the ball, when I looked at it and I'm like, what is happening right now? I see the ball in the air going towards a 49er, and he's gonna catch it. That's amazing. What is this magic that you're pulling right now? It was fun to watch. I think there's a strong case that he should play, but I'm not about to say that they should do anything but keep them both for the rest of the season.
Yes.
It's gonna be a fun rest of the season for the Niners is the way I see it.
Well, they definitely won't be getting that on the other side of the bay. So, go Niners!
Yeah. Oh, Oakland, we love you.
We love the A's.
Yeah.
The Raiders just disappoint us repeatedly.
Oh, you know, they got that whole like fancy stadium and stuff, and they'll work something out.
I'd say the biggest highlight of this week, I would, sports wise for you, would be that awesome trade we pulled off.
Yes,
football league.
Yes, for those not in the know, I'm in a league for fantasy football. And Brendan and I had a wonderful trade, which gave me it definitely saved me from losing this week.
It's hard to win without a quarterback.
Yeah, let me tell you. Although the guy who was playing, his quarterback only put up 7 points, if I'm remembering correctly. So,
wait, were you playing against Matt Stafford?
I do not remember, unfortunately.
Because I have him in my other league, and he only gave me 7 freaking points.
Yikes.
So.
Yikes.
It was a rough week.
Yeah. In any case, fantasy football, I'm still a fan. It's good stuff.
Sports for nerds.
Yes. It really is, because it takes all the nerdy stuff about sports, all the stats and kind of game theory and stuff like that, and then injects it into you know, a system which is very, you know, it makes you want to watch every game. It's kind of heightens the experience all the way around. So
if you want the full football experience, you need to go to somewhere like Tahoe or Vegas and bet money on it. And have fantasy football going, and your brain will explode.
That does sound like it would be
when you literally can watch every game at the same time
and horse
and
races.
Have the stakes have never been higher.
Yeah. So, the sportsbook kind of places where they do have all of the screens dedicated to every sporting event happening, and you know, within like the world.
Hey, that's an idea for a podcast episode. We could do a fantasy football episode from the sports book.
Except for the part where they probably get mad at us for recording.
We'd have to be sneaky about it.
Or we
work
could
work on our dark arts of the internet.
We could interview them or something, and then they would have to give us access. We'll enact this plan. This is
an idea.
Kind of. This is on the books for 2013. We'll get it on there.
Write your congressman.
Yeah. Excellent. Well, Brendan, I think that was a pretty good amount of time for a podcast. I think I'm gonna call it a night. How about you?
I think we're good, buddy.
All right, man. Until next week.
Until next time.
It's been a Not a Thing podcast. We need an outro. Or maybe not. Maybe not. I like our intro. It's good.
Yeah.
Yeah. But maybe not an outro. You should just be able to, you know, end it however you end
it. As awkwardly as possible.
Right on. Until next time, man. We'll see ya.
All right.